to the Resilient Migrant Podcast, a podcast where African immigrants get to talk about their experiences as they assimilate to a different country. This is your host, Brenda Mure.
Hi, I have Major Winnie Odhiambo with me today. Hi, Winnie.
Hello. Hello, Brenda. How are you doing today?
I'm good. A few weeks ago we spoke and you told me in Texas. What part of Texas are you in?
I live in San Antonio, Texas, yes.
What's the temperature today?
Pretty good, 75 degrees.
Oh, wow. I should have you come to Toronto. It's pretty, pretty cold. but it's good to talk to you. So how long have you been in Texas, in San Antonio?
We moved here in August of this year. So I think 5 months now.
Okay. Where were you before that?
Before moving to San Antonio, we were in Nebraska, in Omaha, Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. How many years were you there?
I was there for 3 years, so it was pretty cold there.
So I'm sure you don't miss that.
I don't miss the cold. I miss the people, but not the cold.
So thank you so much for joining me to this podcast. I'm glad. I know you are in the Air Force in the U.S., and before we talk about that, I'd like to know more about your upbringing, where you were born, and all that good stuff. So what country were you born in, Winnie?
I was born in Kenya.
What part of Kenya?
So I was born in the capital of Kenya, in Nairobi.
Okay. Did you go to school there?
I did. For the first 9 years of my life, we lived in Nairobi.
Okay.
And my parents relocated to Kisumu.
Oh, okay. So how was the two different cities living in two big different cities? How was life as a child?
Well, life as a child was amazing. I think that my life kind of prepared me for my adult life. Because mm-hmm. we actually relocated quite a bit of times. So I was born in Nairobi. When I turned 9, we moved to Kisumu. And then I went to boarding school from grade 6 to 8. And then I moved back to Nairobi for high school. So childhood was amazing. I had to build some level of resilience because there was a lot of changes just due to all the movements that we were going through as a family.
Well, it sounds like you already, when you were young, you were being prepared for the moves, especially being in the military. I'm sure you're moving around a lot right now, or you've moved with the military. So I'm curious, I know you're in the States, so did you move to the States after your high school?
Yes, so after graduating from high school, we graduated in November, and then in March of the following year, we relocated to the States. So yeah, shortly after graduating from high school.
So I heard you say was that a family decision or?
Yes, good. Yes. So my mother, she's a registered nurse, and during that time in 2005, the nurses in America were few, and there were a lot of agencies that were recruiting nurses from Africa, from the Philippines, and so she was one of them that was hired to come and work in America as a nurse, and that was really fortunate for us because we all got green card, and that's how we all relocated.
Great, that's a big blessing. And I know some people, I've spoken to some guests who moved by themselves. You were lucky you moved with your family. How was the transition? Did you have a challenge considering you just left high school and now you are a grown up per se in a different country? Was there challenges for you at that time?
Yes. You know, to be honest, I don't know if it's easier to move when you're younger or when you're older. I think at every stage, there are different sets of challenges. But right around the age of 18, I think I faced identity challenges for me, because I think that's the time that you really form your own personal identity. And so slowly but surely, I had formed it when I was in Kenya High School. I had formed a level of identity of who I was, what I wanted my future to look like. But then when I moved to the U.S., oh my goodness, it was tough. It was tough. All of a sudden, I found myself in a situation where I didn't even understand simple things like Jack in the Box, you know. So it felt like I was relearning a lot of things all over again. And it was tough. I think, you know, it even made me change my personality a little bit. I was very talkative as a child and even all through high school. But then my first year of being in the United States, realizing that I didn't know a lot of things, I became quite an introvert. I became quiet. I was more observing to learn because I realized I did not know a lot of things.
So at that age, did you find any, considering you came as a young adult and you already fighting with your own identity. Were there any issues of bullying from maybe young adults at that age when you came? Did you find any kind of bullying?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's bullying or just lack of knowledge or experience from those people, from the individuals that were like sometimes hollering negative, you know, name calling on me, because I think they did not know what Africa was about. They didn't understand that, you know, Africa is also a civilized continent, and people who live in the continent are educated and are people of value, and they can bring a lot of value if given the opportunity. I think that was a miss. And so when you hear from your age mates, other young adults, like, oh, you must be from Africa. Africa, are people smart there? People must be really dumb there. You know. At the initial instance, I felt offended, but after talking to my mother and my sisters, they were like, no, it's just their own ignorance. They have no idea what Africa is about. You know who you are, and so you need to stand on that you know what Africa is. You're the one who has been to Africa. You understand the value that Africa brings to you. So, yes, a couple of people who did not know about Africa, yeah, they sometimes are hurling some negative comments my way.
And but you had a great support system, your mom and your sister. That's great. So I am curious, and I'd like us to turn this conversation to the Air. You being in the Air Force, and forgive me, I keep calling you Winnie. I should say Major Winnie. You are in the Air Force. So what prompted and at what point did you decide to join the Air Force?
Oh, that's a very good question. Mm-hmm. So really, when you first moved to the U.S., my sister and I were both education focused. We wanted to like go to the university. And interestingly enough, I had gotten, you know, in Kenya, how after high school, you get, for lack of a better term, called to university. So you get, called to a certain university to pursue a certain degree. And so I had gotten that letter like from Kenya that, hey, you've been accepted to join Moi University. So education was something that was at our forefront. So my sister and I, we went to the universities in Colorado because we first moved. When we moved to the U.S., we moved to Denver, Colorado. And we tried. That was our mission. Like every single day, we'd wake up, dress up, take the bus, go to whichever University of Colorado, to see if we could get enrolled into college. But it was sad because every time we go there, they were like, no, you've not been in this state for a year yet. And so you cannot get the resident fee rate. You're going to have to be out of state, which is so expensive. Mm-hmm. They just moved to the U.S. So it seemed like, oh my goodness, we were not going to be able to attain our goal of going to school. So at that point where we were a little bit confused, my sister came up with this idea. I want to join the Air Force. So when she first mentioned that to me, I looked at her and I said, are you out of your mind? Why are you signing up to die? You know, I was I did not understand what the military was all about and everything. And I was like, why are you signing up to die? I said, like, don't do this. So she was adamant. She went and told my parents about it. And then my parents were like, Winnie, you have to support your sister. Take up the recruiter. Take up the recruiter. Hear what the recruiter has to say. You don't have to join, but just support her, you know, as she's pursuing this dream. So I was like, okay, I can do that. I can support her. So we both went to the recruiter's office, and lo and behold, we both signed up. The recruiter was really good. He was able to market it. So at that point, when I was signing up for it, I really was supporting her. She was like, let's do it together. We'll go to basic training together, and then, you know, we will be together and support each other as we work and also pursue our education. And so that's how I ended up joining. I was taking my sister to the recruiter's office, and I ended up being signed up and enlisted in the Air Force.
Wow, great, great story. So is your sister still in the Air Force too?
Good question. So she did 4 years active duty in the Air Force, and then she transitioned into the reserve. So she serves in the Air Force Reserve. She keeps on telling me, Winnie, I walked you into your destiny, because as of today, I have about 16 years of active duty time.
Wow, yeah. 16 years. Great. And thank you for your service. I'm sure the United States of America and the people really appreciate you, the work that you do. So I forgot to ask you, Major Winnie, considering my listeners come from diverse backgrounds, that are different countries, what does the Air Force in a nutshell do?
What does the Air Force do? Yeah. Marines is the branch of the military that is responsible for aerial warfare. So anything in the air, that's what the Air Force does. I would say their mission is to fly, fight, and win. So it's everything in the air. That's what they do. So everybody who is in the Air Force is supporting that one mission. You could have a pilot, you know, you could have a pastor, a chaplain there, but the chaplain is supporting that one mission. Mm-hmm. You could have doctors up, but the doctors are supporting the pilots who are actually at the forefront of that mission.
Thank you for explaining that. I personally also really didn't know. I know they're up there, but I didn't have an understanding. So thank you for explaining that. So when you joined the Air Force, you were not ready to join them. You were taking your sister. So were there any shocks for you or any adjustments as Winnie? Were there any adjustments for you?
Oh my goodness. Yes, lots of adjustments. So tell you what happened. I joined so I could accompany my sister to basic training and we could get stationed together. But that was far from what happened. Okay. So my sister ended up joining the Air Force a few months after I joined it. So I went in first, right? I went in alone. Lots of adjustments for me. So I was not the kind of girl in high school who was doing marathons and running and exercising. No, that was not my thing. So I really had to like quickly adjust to that lifestyle. And then also, as many immigrants can attest to, accent, you know, your accent is something that, you know, you can't blame anybody for it. That is who you are. But it poses some challenges when you're communicating, right? And so I had some challenges trying to communicate with my fellow airmen and also my supervisors. It was quite challenging. I remember one time I was working as a customer service technician, and I was at the forefront. And this gentleman came in and wanted me to help him out with some questions. I did my best. I tried the best I could. No, you need to take this girl out of here. She has no clue what I can't, she can't communicate it. And that was really hard to hear. Uh-huh. So lots of challenges that I experienced being an immigrant, even food, simple things as food, you know, as immigrants, we're kind of used to the foods that we eat in our native countries. And so for me, when I was still living in Denver, in my parents' house, it was easy because we could still cook the Kenyan dishes. But when I joined the military, I was no longer cooking my own food. So I had to adjust to eat the American way, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of, you know, cultural differences, the communication aspect and exercising. And then it just said whole different culture.
But here, 16 years later, you're here. So you did. That's great. I want us to talk about, you're a mom. You have how many children do you have?
I have 3 children.
And you've had them while you have been in the Air Force.
Correct.
How old are they?
So, our eldest daughter is 7 and our son is 5 and our youngest girl is 10. She just turned a year old.
Wow. How has that being a mom in the Air Force, trying to balance your career, being in the service and being there for your family? Can you talk us through some of your challenges, like just anything, be it good, bad, or like how have you been able to balance it?
Wow, that's a lot. very, very good question. I would say there are 4 pillars of resilience that we are taught in the military. So we have the first pillar, which is your spiritual pillar. Mm-hmm. Then you have the second pillar, which is your physical pillar. Then you have the third pillar, which is your social pillar. And then the fifth one is really your emotional and mental pillar. So you have we have 4 pillars that you have to constantly think about. It's important to really invest and put some reservoir in each of those pillars, so that when things are tough, you can at least depend on the pillars that you have. So I'm really serious. I'm very intentional about these pillars as a mother, as you said, and also as an Air Force leader. I'm responsible for teams, big teams. So it's very important for me to make sure that these pillars are are full as it can be. Yeah. So spiritual, I spend a lot of time with God to get my guidance from God. Really helps me ground myself. But one thing that has also been helpful for me is my social pillar. I take time to nurture deep, amazing relationships, right? So I'm kind of like fortunate. I have three sisters in the United States that I love, but I have also a couple of friends that I can always call when I need their help to support me. Mm-hmm. And I have some of them in the local areas who are able to support me. And then also just my thinking and emotional pillar. It's very important for me to think the right way. You know, when things are difficult, always remember that with God, all things are possible, right? When things are hard, I remember that, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I think in that fashion, then I'm able to find solutions to problems that I have. Mm-hmm. But thinking that, oh my gosh, I'm done. How am I going to ever do this? Mm-hmm. Give you a scenario. So in 2018, I was deployed to Kuwait, to the Middle East. My eldest our eldest daughter was 3, and our son, I didn't have our daughter yet, the last one, our son had just turned 1. And at that point, I got the nation's call to go and get deployed for about 7 to 8 months. That was a very tough time for me as a mother. And that's when I had to really focus on those 4 pillars and see how they're going to support me as I went through that. And I was very, very, very grateful and very thankful for my support system, because at that time, my husband was also doing his PhD program and he was not at home. So I had 2 kids, and these 2 kids, they needed a home. And I was very lucky. My sister was like, sign me up, bring them to my house. I will look after them. I'll do the best I can. And then one of my dear, dearest friend said, I will stop doing the job I'm doing. I will move with them to make sure that I can give your sister support while she's taking care of them, because she's very busy as well. Mm-hmm. That support system got me going. Mm-hmm. And there for them. Mm-hmm. In my mind, I had to remind myself that I will get through this. I will focus and I'll get through this. Physically, I started running and exercising diligently to make sure that I fill my body with the endorphins and all the good chemicals to keep me upbeat, right? Mm-hmm. And also make sure that I'm eating nutritious food to just take care of myself during that time. So that's another example of how I was able to manage that, how I'm able to manage being a mom and being in the military, take it a day at a time. Very, very intentional about my children, because they're the top of my priority. God and my husband and my children. I'm very, very particular about them. Every day I carve out time where I intentionally spend quality time with them. I don't have the luxury of quantity, but I have the luxury of quality. And for that reason, I spend at least 30 minutes with each child, mm-hmm. to meet them and see how they're doing. Mm-hmm. And
I've learned a lot, especially about being very intentional and using your social support systems. That's what you said. It's very, very important when you be very intentional about those social supports, because you will rely with them now once in a while. Thank you for talking about that. I am curious. I know there might be a mother out there and wondering, considering everything that you've talked about, looking back a few years before you joined the military, is there one thing or two that you would advise a mother who's willing to join the Air Force and is not sure about some of the things they need to be either aware of or be ready, or things that you should just encourage them? Like, what would be your encouragement?
I would say being in the military is one of the best decisions I have made. Mm-hmm. So I always encourage anybody who has a heart for that kind of service to join. Mm-hmm. Let them know that you have to understand and know your priorities very, very well. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because it's going to come a time when you'll be asked to fly the freedom flag and put down the family flag, you know. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times you hear people telling you, people thank the military for their sacrifice, and that is a real thing. You're going to have to sacrifice that time. So as a mother, I would say it's important to have that level of self-awareness, understand your priorities, live for the moment, be very present wherever you are. quality over quantity, you're going to have to really look at quality time and be intentional of how you're taking care of yourself. Most importantly, is taking care of yourself. You are the mother. You are everything to your children, everything to your spouse, and everything to the nation. The job they give you, they will take a lot from you. So you have to take care of yourself so that you can keep standing and be there for your family and also for the military.
Put on your mask first, as they say, in the planes, on the planes.
Always, yes.
Always. So, Mijuwini, I'd like us to turn the conversation. And thank you so much about sharing your life in the Air Force. I've never spoken to a mom in the Air Force. I was really, really looking forward to hear what you had to say. And thank you about sharing one of your major challenges, which was going to Kuwait and leaving your family behind. That must have been that was a very hard time for you. I can even tell from your face, but kudos, you did it and made it, and you had a great support system. I want us to turn now. I know the last time I spoke to you, you talked about life coaching. Tell us what kind of life coaching that you do.
Wow, thank you so much. Yeah, so yes, so I'm a life coach, and I would just want to, if it's okay, I can share with you, the audience, the reason why I decided to be a life coach. So when I came back from Kuwait, I had to relocate to Nebraska. So that also posed another set of challenges for me. I was not coming back to my support system that I had in Georgia, because I was living in Georgia at that time. And I was coming back to move and go to a totally new team, new job, and just everything was new. And I had these two little kids. My son at that time wasn't able to recognize me, was struggling to get that on. So we were going through a hard time there. And so that's when I started looking out for support. The military has a lot of resources for support, so I was able to utilize some of them. But then I was introduced to positive psychology and also to coaching. And so that was the beginning of my quest to just understand what life coaching is about. So I was blessed because I had a life coach who really helped me gain clarity, infuse more happiness in my life, and really navigate the challenges I was going through at that point. And so, yes, people normally ask, what's a life coach? A life coach is a professional who helps people make progress in their life in order to achieve a certain goal. And so myself, as a professional mother, I love working with women, self-actualizing women. I like to help them and support them become extraordinary leaders who are not sacrificing their wellness to reach the highest levels of their leadership, and also who are fulfilled and resilient.
Wow, great to know that. So do you have any contacts that people can reach you in case they need a life coach?
Yes, yes. You can reach me at my website is the self triad, selftriad.com. The selftriad.com. And also you can reach me on Facebook and Instagram. I'm very active on Instagram. You can just get me at Winnie Odhiambo.
Okay. So I'll make sure when I put the show notes, I put all the information so that whoever wants to reach out to you, they can do that. I'm sure people need life coaches. I personally need one. So who knows? Maybe I can call you up. Eh? Thank you. So before I ask you some fun questions, which I do like to ask people, I know you were thinking about this interview. You were thinking about this podcast, and you must have thought about a billion questions that I might ask you. Is there one question that you think I should have asked you, but I didn't?
Wow, you asked very good questions, by the way. Maybe a question on what single practice is most important for your well-being?
Great.
Mm-hmm. I would answer that. There's one practice always help me throughout life. Let's say whenever I'm low, it helps me get joyful. Whenever I'm happy, it makes me happier. It's really taking time to be grateful. So a gratitude practice. So I would really encourage everybody, when you wake up in the morning, jot down 5 things that you're grateful for. Really feel the gratitude, feel your body. And then at tonight, before you go to bed, just write down one thing that went well today that you're grateful for. And then when things are really hard and you can't see how to solve the issue at hand, just write down what you're grateful for. And it will really clear your mind. It sounds so simple, but it's so profound and so powerful.
Thank you for saying that. A few weeks ago, I was going through a hard time about something, and I had to write my gratitude for that day. That was very hard, writing gratitude when you're really having a hard time. But like you said, it just opens your eyes, even when things are tough, about the positive that is still happening. So thank you for doing that. And that's a reminder for me. I need to write 5 things that I'm grateful for today. And I'll do that after this interview. So Major Winnie, I will ask you a bunch of fun questions. When you were talking, one of the challenges when you came to America is, when you joined the military, is the food, the Kenyan food versus what you found in the American food. You missed your home-cooked meals. What is your favorite Kenyan food?
Oh, man, I love pilau or biryani. To me, they're almost the same, just different spices, yes.
And what's your favorite fun activity?
Oh, I love dance.
You love what?
Dancing. I love Yes. So that's my fun activity. I try to do that for 5 minutes a day.
Wow, that's a good way to look at it. You keep up your good hormones up doing that way.
Yes, you must do at least one thing that makes you happy every day.
That's great. So as I also end this conversation, I always like appreciating every culture, every tribe, every language. And I always ask my guests to teach us one word, either in your Kenyan language or your Luo language, so that people can learn something new.
Beautiful. Oh, I love that. Okay, so I would love to teach everybody one word in my Luo native language, amor.
Amor, okay.
And you can make it 2 words, amor ahinya.
Amor ahinya. And what does that mean?
I am very happy.
Amor ahinya. I hope I know I'll remember that. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So thank you for doing that, Major Winnie. I really do appreciate it. As we close, I want to say thank you for joining me in this podcast. Really appreciate what you've taught us and your story. Keep flying the Air Force flag up, and we really appreciate all the work. And as I always say in Swahili, asante sana, which means thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Brenda. Thank you for giving me this platform. Thank you for what you do. God bless you.
God bless you too. Thank you.